Hey, it's Lisa Carlin from Attacking Third to tell you about the all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe. It's equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend. The Hyundai Santa Fe features available all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, plus available dual wireless charging pads, ensuring that you can take on any adventure. It's ski season, and with the all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe, I can easily load the car with all my gear plus my friends in the third row and make it right to the base of the slopes with all-wheel drive. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
Hello and welcome to Attacking Third, a CBS Sports soccer podcast. I'm Sandra Herrera, lead NWSL writer for CBS Sports. Joined today, as always, by my colleague and co-host, Lisa Roman, NWSL analyst and broadcaster. We have a special edition interview episode for everyone today. We are joined by Sadella Marley, infamously known as the global ambassador for Jamaica Women's Football Program, also Bob Marley's daughter. Most recently, she is the brains behind the Football is Freedom Festival, and we are going to chat all about that today. Welcome to the show, Sadella. How are you?
I'm good. Happy to be here. Let's talk Football is Freedom.
We're excited to talk about Football is Freedom. It's going to be taking place coming up very soon around the international window, where an international friendly match is going to be taking place between Jamaica's Reggae Girls and Costa Rica La Sele. And we're excited about it. We're always excited to talk about everything going on in our version of the game. Let's get into Football is Freedom. This is an inaugural event. And Football is Freedom is actually going to be a really big event. It's a festival. It's involving football music. So why don't you tell us a little bit all about the festival and what is the Football is Freedom Festival?
Well, the core mission of Now We Go By FIF.
Can't get FIFA.
So yeah, we couldn't do FIFA. So we just did FIF. So the core mission of Football is Freedom is to support the development of women's football at the grassroots level in the region. And hopefully this event will help start the fundraising. Uh-huh. Yeah, we need to do a lot of fundraising for, you know, our teams in our region 41. And the diaspora. We also hope to support the growth and development of national teams by staging annual exhibition matches, mini tournaments. So, you know, when the mind goes football, we kind of go really broad. And so we're just hoping for a lot of things that can happen through Football is Freedom. The big thing that we really want to do is actually build academies.
Yeah.
I'm looking at my cousin because she's actually the one who... Yeah, she's really the mastermind behind all of this stuff. Okay?
She made me head of missions.
Yeah.
She said head of missions.
Yeah.
So I just came up with a mission.
Yeah. But and then we want to invest in the holistic wellness of the players. We want to fund scholarships and programs that assist the players when it's time for them to retire, you know, which in football, it can be today or it can be 2 years or it can be 10 years. Mm-hmm. So what we have noticed with our Reggae Girls is that sometimes these injuries don't get taken care of. And, you know what happens after that. You know, they say, bye bye, wish you the best and good luck. So we want to kind of put an end to that. So it's ambitious what we're doing. But we believe that it has to start somewhere. And if it starts with us, that's okay.
This event and the festival FIF, I love that. It centers around the friendly between Jamaica and Costa Rica, and it's going to be hosted in Fort Lauderdale at their DRV Pink Stadium. Why did you choose this friendly and this location to launch this festival?
Well, first of all, this is where I live. This is my hometown. So it was just very comfortable. And then two, because most of our players are, you know, in Europe. So this is a central location, you know, to get to America, blah, blah, blah. You come to Miami. What else would you say, Mishua?
Well, because we have
get your face in the camera.
Yes, ma'am. We have a large, we have a very large diaspora community here. Mm-hmm. So, you know, they call South Florida, Miami, Fort Lauderdale, West Palm, they call it Floribian a lot of times, you know, because it's the gateway really for the Caribbean, Latin America, Central Latin America. And obviously CONCACAF has 41 member associations. So once Cidella said, okay, you know, because we would go and travel over the last 7 years and every match we went to, because Cidella took us to every match. If the reggae girls were playing, the whole family loaded up like the Partridge family and we were out there at every match.
Yeah.
You know, and we would be in DR, for example, and we'd be the only people in the entire stadium for both teams.
Yeah.
You know, she met teams from Mexico, Panama and Trinidad. And she was like, but these girls are really good. Like they can play, like how come people don't see them play?
Mm-hmm.
So the whole idea of South Florida is it gives the opportunity in America for both of these teams, Costa Rica and Jamaica, two World Cup qualifying teams, to have like a home game experience in North America. Drive Pink Stadium in the heart of Fort Lauderdale is a large diaspora community. Drive Pink Stadium was named in order to honor the Auto Nation owner's wife's breast cancer fight, but they've never had women in the stadium. So that was a happy accident.
I love the discussion of the overall encompassing discussion of CONCACAF as a whole, right? Because the reality is, and this can be true for all federations, that, you know, not all federation teams are created equal, right? So mm-hmm. there's different areas in which certain
Title IX outside of America, for example.
Correct. Yeah, there's certain teams that their fights for equity and certain things look a little bit different, right?
Yeah.
And I love the conversation about ensuring that an event like this is reflective of the diaspora. That's so very, very important. Let's maybe stay with that a little bit in terms of the focusing on the FIF, the Football's Freedom Initiative. The project is centered around football and the success of the game. So let's talk about that, the success part of it. What is the goal of the initiatives, the success component? Is it to directly benefit? You know, there are benefits there. I heard you talk a little bit about Jamaica and the Selección. But is it just also going to be beneficial for the community at large?
For sure.
Well, basically the idea is, number one, is this is going to be an annual event. It may not be the same teams every year.
I love that.
This is the whole thing. Yeah. You know, the idea, number one, too, that not only do you have the senior national teams, you have the U17, you have the U20. And, you know, just to go back to what you're saying about the region, is that obviously the bragging rights for CONCACAF are really in the women's game. That's where the medals are. But they're really in the three bigger countries, you know. And so the idea is, even if we want to get stronger as a union, as a confederation, if we want a little bit more respect on our name, so to speak, you know, that's kind of in the women's game. And, you know, and in the Caribbean and Central Latin America and Latin America, it's natural to us. It's natural to how we play. So if we can raise the money with this match, and it's really key, the match itself is a great match. 10% of the net proceeds will go immediately to each national team that is participating. And that is what we want to make a staple component every year, whichever teams participate, because they always need money.
Yeah,
they always need money. They never have the same sponsorship level. They never have the same support, but they have the talent. They have the ability, so they just need that opportunity. Then another portion of the proceeds is going to go directly into diaspora communities here in the United States, where there are already organizations like FCC USA, different organizations that are exposing young girls to football. And these girls can play not only on the U.S. national team, you know, because of the rules, some of them are eligible to then play in these countries where their grandmother was born, their grandfather was born. So a lot of times, and I'm a huge Megan Rapinoe fan. I have purple hair. I didn't bring it with me, but I have like purple hair. But there was
and a purple cat suit.
Yeah. We do Super Team Girl Fridays because it gets tough around here. So, but the thing is that there's something about a little girl watching a girl that looks like her play this game. I have this picture, I'll send it to you, that we just took by accident one day in Jamaica. 7 years ago, there was a girl that came out of a newspaper playing soccer with a rock and some boys, a schoolgirl kicking a rock. Then it was like rock stone or something. Mm-hmm. And so we're like, what? So like we loaded up the reggae girls and they went out there. And this was before any type of World Cup qualifiers. This was really even at the beginning of Sadella as ambassador. Yeah. So this was when nobody knew anybody. And if you see the way this little girl looked at this football player in a uniform.
A reggae girl.
Yeah. And she handed her the ball. And there was this look of total adoration on this little girl's face.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what keeps us going when it gets a little funky around here sometimes, is just this idea. You know, so doing this here in South Florida, you have the opportunity for Costa Rica, mm-hmm. you know, who has done amazing things.
And we must point out that the first World Cup we ever went to yeah. was in Costa Rica.
First Women's World Cup was first. Like U17 yeah. or U20 or something.
And that was my first experience of just being in a full arena stadium where women are playing football. And I was like, wow, that was also the time I met
the president,
Mr. Blatter.
That time.
Yeah. I didn't know who he was.
Yeah. We didn't know.
We didn't understand what was happening.
We just smiling, taking pictures. You know, every country was there because it was a final.
Every country was there.
Yeah.
And I was just so impressed. Not only was because the president of Costa Rica, I don't know if she's
still, a woman.
A woman. So, I mean, I was just like blown away. Here's a woman president. Here she is at the football game. You know, it's in her country. Her team is playing. And the vibe was just so, it was just different.
Yeah.
It was a different experience because when we were traveling with the reggae girls, we didn't see none of that. Like Mishra said, nobody was in the stadium. You know, there was nobody. So we traveled with a boombox so we could play music and lively up ourselves because we were the only ones there. And I was like, wait, people are not understanding what this is, obviously. You know, I know a lot of other countries get it, but for our people in the Caribbean and diaspora, I think we need to like shake them up and let them realize that this can do so much for the young mm-hmm. girls and the young boys too, actually.
Mm-hmm.
But since we're talking about, you know, girls, this can really do what we've seen and happen for our Jamaican girls. Is taking them out of, listen, it's taking them out of not only out of poverty, but them just being able to have the scholarships and to go like Khadija now, she's playing for Manchester. I mean, it's mm-hmm. craziness.
Mm-hmm. With our bachelor's degree, though, by the way.
Exactly.
You know, we've got players who are Cambridge Rhodes Scholars.
Yeah.
And they can play ball.
And they can play ball.
You know,
ball.
So it's not, there's so much that ball at a girl's foot can do. This ball at a girl's foot.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, and my thing is, and the reason the music comes into it, right? Because like, we dance, she dances. I try, but she dances, right? And my thing is, there's a natural rhythm in the islands, period.
Mm-hmm.
So I was watching the girls train one day and they were using those little Brazilian ones, like the little small ones. And I was just watching them use it for their agility and stuff. And I was like, Sid, just imagine in Jamaica, because we grew up around music. So you just imagine taking like a little girl and just rolling that ball to her at 2 or 3 years old and just letting her do her thing. Do you know what this region could look like at the global level for women's football, if on every one of these islands and every one of these Central Latin America, if we just roll this little ball at this little girl's feet and let her figure it out?
Looking at where you have come and how much you want the people of Jamaica to know, Sadella, for you specifically, you've talked about your history and how you've now become global ambassador and you're launching this football festival and you're raising money for these teams. You're doing so much for them. Taking a look back at how you got to this place, in 2014, you became the global ambassador for the Jamaican women's national football team. How did you fall into that role? How did you get to where you are today?
Well, you know, you have good accidents. So my youngest, he came home with a flyer, very small flyer. And it was a fundraising event happening. And he was like, Mom, the coach asks, I give this to you to see. And I was like, what is this? I said, what are the reggae girls? I had no idea what this was. So I called my best cuz and I said, let's figure this out. We call the Federation in Jamaica. We asked, what is this? They tell us, what is it? What can we do? And they told us what we could do. And we said, at the time, I was like, okay, no problem. I had no idea. I had no idea. I was like,
hoodwinked.
Wait, they don't love this as much as we do? What's happening? What's going on? Like, my dad played football forever. Mm-hmm. You know, as far as I can remember, my dad, if he didn't have the guitar, he had a football, you know, or he had something else, which, you know, whatever. But it's what I knew and what I loved. And so the deeper we got into it, it's the more we were like, oh, okay. It's a bigger issue. Like, it's a gender issue. It becomes a totally different feeling that I got. And then I got angry.
A little bit.
Yeah, I got a little bit, right? Mm-hmm. Just a little bit. I got angry because what I was hearing just didn't jive with me. I'm a mother of three boys, but I have maybe like 60 nieces. So I am a mother of 60 girls, put it that way. And if anyone had said to them at any time in their lives, you can't do this just because you're a girl, I would have a problem with that, you know? And so that's when we really hyper-focus on the real issues. And that's how we're here now, because not much has really changed, you know? And we keep bucking up on the same federations, the same people, the same heads, the same gen sex, the same people who, in my heart, I feel like the progress that we can actually make for women in football.
Level up.
Yeah, we get to fight still, but we know who's fighting us. So we kind of go, okay, next, you know? And that's why, yeah, it's brought us here and it's made us stay here. And when people said Jamaica would never qualify for a World Cup, the girls proved them wrong. And it was just really, they did it with little, you know, when you look at the bigger scope of other countries like the USA and the budgets, and our girls did that with very little. So imagine if we had a little bit more to give to them so they can be better at everything that they want to do on the field. It's, you know, it can be a problem for some other countries.
Not can be. It is.
So it like, is.
Yeah, good trouble, though.
We keep it very real here on Attacking Third. It is. That's what we talk. We talk about the women's game, and we know that it is. That's a fact. And it has been. I love the conversation that we're having right now, and the honesty that is being discussed about everything right now. Because that's really what it's about. Sometimes it's not just about having a seat at the table. Sometimes it really is about smashing that seat and creating a newer and better one.
Yeah.
Right?
A nicer table.
It has been a tough road, you know, for Jamaica, for reggae girls specifically, to find themselves to stay on the field and, mm-hmm. and be able to compete. Let's get a little more specific. What are maybe some of the more current challenges that this team continues to face?
Well, we can tell you about what's happening like right now.
Get your own footballs.
Yeah, right now we say to the Federation, okay, we need, how many balls we wanted? Six?
12.
12. They said, well, good luck. And we said, what do you mean good luck? Don't you have them?
Yeah.
And so we're being told, well, we had to give them to the grassroots programs and we have to give them to this thing and we have to give them. And I'm like, but it's your national team getting ready to take the field. Come on now. Can't you find the balls?
No. And we got to get on this private plane. So we'll see you when we get back.
Stop it.
Well, that's what they did.
They did.
Okay. Yeah,
so the balls was
real.
One.
She said real.
Get it. The balls was one. Then the next thing now we were our equipment, mm-hmm. right?
Which we still don't have all the equipment.
Yeah. So, I mean, We get to
it's
fight.
Still money. It's still it's still you know what? And I'm learning to be less angry because I was like really I've been like really really angry because we really thought, well, first of all, we were naive the first time in Costa Rica, because we were like, this stadium is full.
Yeah.
And look at all this. And Costa Rica, this is great. Wait till we get back to Jamaica. It's going to be so good.
Yeah.
And we got back to Jamaica and they're like, well, no, we don't really care.
It's
girls. Why don't they go play netball or something?
Tennis.
And we're like,
is good swimming.
Wow, okay. Like we met with bank leaders and we were like, they're like, they're not really that marketable. I was like, they all have college degrees. They'd be so corporate friendly. Have you considered netball? And did Cinderella see the reggae boys? And we're like,
yeah.
Okay. So when they qualified, right? Because first of all, and I love what I love about America is that because it's such a melting pot of international people, especially here in Florida, there were coaches up here who were within the U.S. system who had ties to Jamaica and the Caribbean, and they saw her and they said, well, you know what? We think we can help. And then they started calling other people, strength and conditioning, like Spectrum Sports Performance in Orlando that trains Alex Morgan and all of these people. And they looked at these girls and said, but they deserve better. So, for example, we've had Will Hitzelberger for the last 7 years, you know, creating strategies and training programs for these girls in Jamaica for nothing, you know. So we've had people who just kind of sewed into these girls from all over, you know, and that was the thing that made us feel like, you know, we're doing the right thing and they're getting the shot. And then when they qualified, you know, after we finished like crying and dancing and jumping down and stuff, we're like, oh, good. Now everybody will get it because they saw it.
Mm-mm.
And like, well, no, they got it. They got it because they got bonuses and stuff. Then they kept it. And then the girls still didn't get it. And it was like weird. Because the other thing is like, she's kind of a business person. Like, I don't know if people like have seen anything like the IHAX jerseys and like the books and, you know, like the cookbooks and it's the Skip Marley thing that she does. And, you know, she's like, she's got a lot of jobs. And she's like really good at business.
But I love this one.
Yeah. But the thing is, as a businesswoman, the idea that there are businessmen who don't see the no-brainer in this.
Yeah.
It's another challenge, you know? So it's like the idea of now taking all of these teams and saying, listen, let's let the world see what you can really do. Let's let America, that has so many people from Costa Rica, from Colombia, from see what you guys can do. You know, because Costa Rica is getting ready to host another World Cup.
Yeah.
But, and as a mother of four boys, let me say, I recognize this because these are things that can really tick you off, right? But the truth of the matter is every man on the planet who is involved in football today at every level started out as a little boy on a pitch that he was pretty much taught was his exclusive territory. This is a fact, right? So the most you can hope for with them as adults is that they don't mind sharing it with the girls. But in their mind, it is very much the money, the pitch, the footballs, the GPS equipment is very much theirs to decide to share. And that's not a mindset you can mandate or legislate. You know, after 25 years, the U.S. women's national team is fighting for equal pay. In Jamaica and in Costa Rica and in Peru, and they're fighting for pay and sports bras. Like, really? You do a kit deal, you know, you've got three women's teams. It doesn't occur to you to say, dude, we're going to need X amount of sports bras every year. So that's just the reality. So the thing is, everything can't be done in a federation level.
Yeah.
Because the other thing is, if a guy does want to do something different, he might run the risk of getting voted out by all the other guys.
So it comes down to changing really the mindset of people and the foundation of how young boys and little boys think of the game of football, and especially little girls, that they belong and that this is a place for them, not to be borrowed from the boys, but that it is equally theirs and equally deserving of them, whether it's the pitch or the balls or anything, or the kits or anything. So Cedella, and when you look at the future of Jamaican women's soccer in 5 years, how do you see that landscape 5 years from now?
I think if we keep doing what we're doing, and it takes a collective, you know, it takes me, you, Sandra, you know, it's going to be a collective. I think we will be dominating the game. I really do.
I think this whole region, like, I don't mean to be funny. I don't mean to be funny. And I say it a lot. Because
I think everybody has a little Jamaican in them.
Well, I like to. I like to.
This is good.
This is good.
We're everywhere.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're everywhere.
Yeah, and we're like cultural MSG. That's what I tell people all the time. Like, no, I mean, like a Jamaican pulls up and your food tastes different, your clothes look different, your music sounds different. We are cultural MSG. If Christian Dior, like, I'm sorry, we're cultural MSG. You know, this is a good thing to say, right? But the other thing is, like I said, Costa Rica's number 37. That's no slouch. Mm-hmm. And for the last, and listen, there's a rivalry between these two teams, you know, that they've had from the U17 level. You know, our very nice, mild-mannered Canadian head coach, Busby, got kicked out of the game against Costa Rica at the U17 level a few years ago. Like, that story made me laugh. I'm like, you? Like, you're not even, like, allowed. You're, like, Canadian Jamaican. You're, like, all nice.
Yeah.
I get kicked out of stuff. Like that's why I'm used to being off camera, because I'm the trouble.
I'm not.
No. It's all me. It's all me. But the thing is that we can build a seriously competitive region. And it starts, like, I don't mean to be funny. All of this is great. The mission is great. Sidella's idea is great. What she's bringing to this is great. But if nobody sees it, who cares? Because who knows? So it does start with the idea of it's a match. It's a game, but it's not really. It's a game changer, because the money from these kind of events, not only does it give exposure to how well these teams can play, but we're bringing both teams in starting on Sunday for 1 week training camp. Coming out of a pandemic where even if the players have been on club teams and in college teams, they have not had opportunities to get together, and they're getting ready to go into World Cup qualifiers again.
Yeah.
So in the midst of this, you know, she's kind of took a shot even before a ticket has been sold and doubled down on this, because she's flying in these two teams, housing them for a week. You know, it's not the pre-pandemic situation where you put them in double rooms and all that. So you're talking 80 people, single rooms times seven.
Yeah, the budget, the food, tripled.
You know, and then thank God for Drive Pink Stadium. They also just told us today, because they're training at Drive Pink every day. Right. So it's not just the match. This is one of the top quality training facilities down here. So both of these teams are getting to train at a level that they don't normally get access to unless the U.S. invites them to play somewhere in a tournament. So what we're really trying to create is an environment where any of these teams, and some of them maybe aren't at the She Believes level yet, for example, but in, you know, next year, you could bring in these kind of teams. So if people buy these tickets, if people watch this match on the app, because it's in the season, so even the broadcast deal was hard to get, you know, but this is just the first year, because you got to start somewhere.
Yeah.
But it starts with buy a ticket, like literally buy a ticket, come watch World Cup quality football, because this is a great initiative. It's all these things, but they can also play. We don't do paper champions around here, because she doesn't allow that.
No,
she really doesn't.
Yeah.
No. You know, at any level.
That's right. It's a competition. You have to.
Yeah. And the thing is, the reason that they belong, the reason we belong, is because we can play.
Yeah.
It's not a Title IX thing. It's not a, oh, let's be equal thing. It's no, a lot of these guys that play in these Sunday clubs and leagues and think they're so great. If we line them up against Allison Swaby and Khadija Shaw and Tiffany Cameron, you know, there'd be a problem.
We're dropping names now.
Names.
I love it.
I got names, you know, but see, that's a beautiful thing, is that now 7 years later, you know, and we had wonderful players 7 years ago. They didn't have a system to play in.
Yeah.
They didn't have the opportunity. We had the Shakira Duncans. We had the Christina Murrays. We had the Venetia String Bean Reed. And those were the girls who inspired girls like Jody and Bunny. And so that's why this fifth mission is trifold, because we've got those players from then who are transitioning into a life after giving more than half their life to playing this game for free for their country.
Yeah.
You know, with not health care, with not, you know, we've got girls under 30 with no cartilage in their knee. And it's a story we've heard everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
So the thing is that a lot of these countries didn't have a Sidella Marley to call attention to it. But just like Marta said to you in France, that time that we got locked out that gate.
Yeah.
I don't know. we got locked out of the gate at the match in France. I don't know if you saw it.
Yeah.
But Marta Silva came out of the gate.
She did.
To see you.
She did. And that was like one of the most amazing, like certain things, certain life events happen. And for me, like, is a highlight, you know, because I'm a fan. Yeah. I almost lost my, you know, and then even when our girls were so scared to come out the gate, she was like, open the gate, open the gate. And we sang One Love and it was just a feel good moment.
Yeah.
And,
but she told you.
Yeah, she did tell me. She said, you're doing this for all of us. You're doing this for all of us. And then she went into my chest and she said, you. I was a little intimidated. So, wow, I can't mess this up now.
No. Yeah. It's a big deal.
It's a big deal.
Yeah.
It's a big deal.
But Bob Marley is so popular in Brazil. I think the thing is, like, and we talk about this because there's been a lot of wine over the last 7 years. There's been a lot of conversations where we really sat and looked at each other because we're like, but what do we do?
Mm-hmm.
What do we do? And this thing about football is freedom. Is this football? Doesn't even cost much, right? But this football in places in the world where it's hard to do a lot of things, this ball literally, you know, puts the world at a kid's foot. A kid can dream about the idea, not just of playing this game somewhere in the world, but seeing the world, getting an education. This is football is freedom from poverty,
mm-hmm.
from limitation. From this idea that you don't fit, that you don't belong, that you're weird because you want to play ball.
Yeah.
This is bigger than like anything that like, I mean, we get big ideas and then we kind of go, oh crap, this is a big idea.
Yeah, calm down.
Yeah. But then we're kind of like, but we can't calm down because then like, who's going to do it?
Yeah.
You know, and so.
Yeah, we want to rally. We want to rally.
Yeah.
We want to rally everyone, you know.
Yeah. Football to the world.
Yeah.
And we want like.
It's going to be that. I think football is going to be that rally. Because it's
You should come. Like, it's going to be like wild.
Yeah. Get out of Chicago. What's in Chicago?
It's cold in Chicago.
Cold weather now. So we'll see.
Yeah. Leave the hawk and come down south.
Yeah, oh, man.
Like, come cover this. We just want people to really come and see and hopefully see what we've seen. And the reason it's a festival is because, you know, in Jamaica, in Trinidad, like Trinidad had like 10 bands at that game.
They did.
Like they thought it was carnival, like when they were playing. Like football, and again, like no disrespect. But you know, a lot of times here in America, some of these games look a little clinical, you know. And that's cool, you know, but this kind of game here, you're not going to hear like,
no, these girls are coming to play.
Strike hard.
Yeah.
And the thing is, we have artists, you know, we have artists that are coming to perform. We have a DJ, like one of the top DJs down here, GQ, who happens to be Jamaican, but he's like one of the top DJs on iHeart. Radio. Then we have artists like Casely. We have Byron. We have Byron Salas, who's actually the top Costa Rican urban artist.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and he's 23 years old, and he's amazing. And then you know we have Casely. You know, and then you know we have this other guy that's been following the reggae girls around for like 7 years. For
7 years, like, since he was, oh my gosh,
almost 14? Wanted to quit school to like do the games with us.
That's my son Skip.
Yeah, he's got a job now though.
Yeah, he's got a job.
So what
he can't follow us like that anymore.
Yeah, but what he did do, he heard they were coming, and we were like, yeah, but you got to work. And he's like, well, can I work over there?
Can I work that?
It's the party that nobody wants. I love it. That's oh my god.
Yeah. So it's like bring a vibe. Yeah.
That's the energy that CONCACAF football really needs, that the Caribbean and Latin American football really needs.
That women's professional ball here really needs. Like, let's have some fun.
We're going to get it. Yeah. We're going to get it. And the thing
I look forward to taking it all in and seeing how it goes. For people who need the reminder that you cannot go there, you can watch it on the app. And this has been just a wonderful conversation. I want to thank you both for spending some time with us today to talk about everything. It's very, very inspiring to hear this, but even more than that, it's empowering and it's motivating. And I think that's the biggest thing. Hopefully this will sort of spearhead some things and propel and launch things moving forward. And the fact that it's an annual event, I'm already excited for what's going to be the next one. So I want to thank everyone.
First year's everything, though. Come, don't, you know, you want to be able to say, I was at the first one.
You want to be part of the history.
I bought my ticket for October 24th, Sunday at 5 o'clock at Drive Pink Stadium, because I wanted to be the first one. Yeah. I got my t-shirt.
Yeah.
I got my jerk chicken.
Uh-huh.
And I went over in that stand.
Uh-huh.
And I was there. And when the music went, she wanna catch a vibe. And every time they went in the goal, they heard straight her. She wanna catch a vibe. And I was there. I was there. That's what. You know,
you gotta come.
The trendsetters.
You gotta come.
The trendsetters.
Lisa, you gotta come too.
Yeah. But
thank you for having us.
Sibella's that's why you're the brain, Sibella. She says, I know I gotta have my cousin here to be the hype woman and hype it up. I love it so much. Thank you everybody for listening. Freedom Football is Freedom Festival is taking place on October 24th, 2021, 5 o'clock in Fort Lauderdale's DRV Pink Stadium. Sibella Marley, Tujo Allen Murley, thank you both so much for joining us today on Attacking Third. The Freedom is Football Festival. Don't forget, y'all. Check it out. Support CONCACAF Women's Soccer.
The chilling new original docuseries on Paramount Plus.
Why did he kill his family? The answer lies across the ocean in a woman named Sylvie.
She's a CAN model.
Where desire leads to deception.
I ended up spending $12,000 and $15,000 a day.
It was addictive.
I can't get you out.
And obsession leads to murder.
Who did this to your family?
You can't really maintain a fantasy forever.
Control Alt Desire. Now streaming on Paramount+.